570 KVI.
You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning. It's Todd Herman and Chris Widener filling in for John Carlson. John returns bright and early, for some reason, on Friday morning. I don't know why you come back on a Friday, but that is John's theory of life.
Because he's committed to the cause,
That's
baby.
Exactly right. He can't. He has been too far away fighting for good conservative values.
You know, we don't talk about it enough, but John has been a legend in this area and has pioneered so much stuff. It's really a great privilege to be able to be here and to sit at this microphone and to share some of our thoughts with his audience that he's built over so many years, and we're just very appreciative.
Yeah, and it is. I want to thank John and Paul Duckworth and the folks at KVI and Phil and Kevin, everybody who's been doing this with us. So, you know, it is end of 2013. Which conservative this year deserves the most praise? On the federal basis, on the state basis, and if there are any, in local Seattle basis. If you look through the past year, which conservatives have made the most positive impact on the cause of winning more elections and on the cause of changing minds? So we're going to talk about that this hour, plus some of the good, bad, and ugly of 2013. We're going to premiere a theme song for Governor Jay Inslee. We are also going to give you a liberal talk radio update. Just a hint, things ain't going well. So my case for the best conservative of the year may cause some controversy with other conservatives. By the way, the phone numbers here are 421-5757 and 888-312-5757. My case for conservative of the year is going to be not necessarily someone who a lot of people would think is a conservative. They're going to identify him as a libertarian, and that is Rand Paul. I think Rand Paul has best positioned himself as a presidential candidate in 2016. And I think he did that with the filibuster, because that moment has put Paul into a position to do something that no other Republican is going to be able to do. He is a guy who can reach out to the Occupy folks. He's a guy who can reach out to the Not In Our Name folks. Now, look, I disagree with those guys on just about everything except for one thing. They joined Rand Paul on the anti-drone position. Look, I'm not convinced that the president intends to kill us at cafes, even Obama.
I don't think he intends to, but I think the point was he shouldn't have the ability.
He should never have the authority. And the funny thing about that entire filibuster is all they had to do, all the White House had to do was say, yeah, we won't. We agree we don't have the right to kill Americans on American soil.
I think they thought, let's let Rand Paul go talk about this and he'll look like a moron.
Yep.
That they honestly thought that they were going to come across looking smart and looking good and that Paul would look like a moron.
And they built that up, right? They built up that expectation that he looked like a moron. I don't think he ever did.
No.
And I believe the left and the leftist media did everything they could to make him look like one. But the other thing he did is he spoke without a prompter. And I believe that President Obama, if one single positive has come from this man's disastrous time in office, it is that I think Americans are absolutely sick to death of people reading measured, tempered comments from a teleprompter.
I'm surprised at how many people, they'll say to me, oh, but he's a great speaker. I say, do you realize? Well, but see, as a professional speaker, which is my living, and anybody that's you know, engaged and looked into it, we can tell that he's on a teleprompter 24/7. I remember when he spoke at a rodeo. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And they took the teleprompter to the middle of the rodeo because the man literally, we should have Phil pull the clip of him talking without the teleprompter. The man can't speak without a teleprompter.
I mean, look, if we don't need it because I can do it. If you give a baby a breathalyzer.
And he's pointing at the screen like, come on, guys, I need some help.
I need some words.
I don't know what to say.
Here. Let me be clear. I can't speak without words. So my nominee for Conservative of the Year is Rand Paul. And I believe he's best positioned to be our presidential standard bearer. So do you disagree, or do you have someone else you want to nominate at 421-5757 or 888-312-5757? My nominee for conservative who should step down is John McCain.
Ugh.
I've never been part of the trash McCain thing. Where John McCain lost me was on a couple of occasions. When we were debating going into Syria, this man pulled out an iPhone and was gaming.
Yeah, playing online poker.
I'm all in. And I don't care how many times you've heard a debate.
I've got an open-ended straight draw
right
here. I got a flush draw, an open-ended straight draw. I got 16 outs.
And I don't care how many times or how good you are at poker. You don't belong doing that on the Senate floor. Secondly, his assertion that people like Rand Paul are wacko birds.
Yeah.
Or what else is he called Tea Party members? Hobbits.
Yeah.
The frustration that this man is beginning to show at the very tenacity of everyday conservatives to feel like they should have a voice indicates to me that this guy's time is, it's time to step down.
Well, this gets back to something we talked about last week and should be a discussion going forward, I think, for our party, is the conservatives don't like the moderates don't like the conservatives. Conservatives don't like that the moderates say bad things about them, but the moderates don't like the fact that the conservatives say bad things about them. And ultimately, if we're ever going to win elections, we have to get everybody to realize that we may not agree, but if we don't get on board with each other, the left wing's going to win.
Yep.
Because they do it. The left wing has their factions as well, from the centrist to the far left. But when push comes to shove, whoever wins the primary, they all hold their nose and vote for them.
Yeah, and it's a fact of life for our side that we tend to be, you know, more principle driven. And now my nominee, and we'll get to Chris's, my nominee for Liberal of the Year, Camille Paglia. We've been talking about her this morning. She's a woman who's come out and said that the nation is committing suicide by neutering men and by neutering masculinity in society. She's actually said, as a woman, that if we'd allowed women to run the country, we would still be living in grass huts. I think what she means, and having read enough of her to know, that she believes strongly in the male-female give and take. That both roles are necessary, and of course, that's become unpopular now on the left, is to view the male role as necessary. So who do you believe, for 2013, has earned the mantle of best conservative? Who do you believe has earned the mantle as conservative or Republican who needs to retire or step away? Is it Sarah Palin? Is Ted Cruz a danger? Chris Christie? Right. These are all national figures. Who do you feel should have the top position as top conservative, and who should step away? And which liberal can you stomach? So those are my picks.
I'll give you mine. Conservative's got to be Ted Cruz. I think you're probably right that Rand Paul has a better shot at presidency than Cruz does. Cruz is playing the role of a senator, I think, perfectly. He's fitted for that role. He doesn't give a rat's patootie what anybody thinks about him. When you look at these lists of people voting for the most popular or the most, you know, the greatest leaders, I mean, he's literally being named in the same breath as the Pope and the President. There was a poll a couple weeks ago. He came in third to the Pope and the President as the greatest leader in the world.
Yeah, but the job of Republicans is to win office.
I understand. And
I don't know that he can win the presidency. I love him.
I don't think
I
so.
Love him.
I don't think so either. But I'm not talking about who's most likely to become president. I'm talking about conservative of the year. He's garnering a lot of attention. I think the best thing for us is when people actually see Ted Cruz talk. Because when they don't see him talk and all they hear is left wing talking about him talking, and then they can say, oh, that Ted Cruz, he's a bad guy. But then when you sit and watch him talk, and he's being interviewed, like I saw him interviewed last night, this is a guy, he's not stupid. I mean, he graduated, I think, Harvard Law School. He's argued before the U.S. Supreme Court
many times.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is not stupid, but that's how they try and portray the Tea Party. My vote for Republicans who need to go are all the mamby-pambly, well, this is what I think. I can't stand to watch these people on the Sunday morning shows. Lindsey Graham. I mean, he's almost a caricature of mamby-pamby. He's just like he's just wishy-washy and mealy-mouthed, and Mitch McConnell and all the just take no stand. And I think these are the guys who want to be liked by the other side, and so they don't take the
position.
Yeah,
and that's poison.
It's all about the cocktail party.
It's the poison.
When I walk into the cocktail party, I want my left-wingers to go, oh, hey, he's here. Left-wingers, I got it off the top of my head.
I stole the one you wanted.
No, absolutely not. My left wing one is Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I just
love the crazy
entertainment
people.
Value.
Entertainment. Yeah. Her, Maxine Waters.
Oh, yes.
I mean, those are the people
comedy
that
gold.
I just love. I mean, they're just. I'm trying to figure out a way to say it without cussing.
I see Phil and Kevin's fingers right over the top of
the dump button.
He's going to do it. He hasn't done it yet, but he's going to do it.
They're bat crazy. Let's put it that way.
So far, so, you know, on a morning where Chris has advocated beating drunk drivers, now we're getting close. We're going to come back, and this hour we're going to have a liberal talk radio update at about 7:50. Things aren't good. And now we're going to premiere, as we go into the break here, a theme song. The Jay Inslee theme song. Matthew Bruno, I Want to Be Beautiful.
And we have a secret sauce in this state. And we have a secret sauce in this state.
YKVI, perspective, passion, principles, where you get your news and views matters. Thanks for choosing America's original conservative talk station. Talk Radio 570, KVI. KVI. The biggest names, the hottest issues. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
This is my suggested theme song for Jay Inslee.
Yeah. Sexy for a budget.
And we have a secret sauce in this state.
I'm too sexy for a sauce. He's very sexy, though.
He's a very good-looking man.
I think that's the one thing that we can all agree on,
is that he's a good-looking man.
He is. Of all things, he is a good-looking guy. We are talking about some of the top stories. We're talking about how to raise conservative kids. We've done a ton of great stuff. We are going to talk about some people who got their 15 minutes of fame.
Having had our 15 minutes of fame.
Exactly. Which ends this Thursday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
No, I want to tell the people we asked earlier, did you know that Jay Inslee was actually in a movie? He played a role called Senator Lucas in a Christian Slater, Selma Blair movie that I saw. It was okay. 2005 movie. It was called The Deal. So if you can't get enough of our good-looking governor, Jay Inslee, all you have to do is Netflix, however you want to get it, on demand, Comcast on demand, pull up The Deal, Christian Slater movie, and you'll get to see him acting quite well.
Shirtless.
No. Please. Come on now.
I ruined it.
Here's the line.
Did I go over the line? No, I did not go over the line. We can say shirtless on the air.
Okay.
So, you know, the past year has been a time of 15 minutes of fame. And some of the names that you may or may not remember. one guy I do remember really, really well was Corner Guy.
Yeah. Speaking of Ted Cruz.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about our conservatives for the year. My conservative of the year is Rand Paul. Chris's is Ted Cruz. We'd still love to hear yours at 206-421-5757 or 888-312-5757. And then my pick for conservative who should retire is John McCain. And Chris's was all those mamby-pamby people. It was typified by Lindsey Graham. So if you have conservatives that it's time for them to hang up the shoes or the boxing gloves or the cigars.
Don't you look at, I mean, honestly, next, you want to have fun. Watch the Sunday morning news shows. I know you don't because you have a TV show.
But watch.
Yeah. You don't have a TV?
I know.
No, watch these guys and ask yourself, if they weren't U.S. senators, what would they be? And half the Republicans would be the guy on aisle five at Home Depot telling you where to find screwdrivers.
Nothing wrong with the guy in aisle five. I'm sure the guy in aisle five lives.
But they shouldn't be U.S. senators.
So one of the guys who made the news in this past year was Corner Guy. And this is a really unfortunate circumstance when you are on TV with the senator who was doing a sort of a filibuster when Cruz did this. There was a young man who is John Ellis. And he is Cruz's legal counsel.
Is that the CEO of the Seattle Mariners?
No. It's a different John Ellis.
Different John Ellis.
Who was unfortunately positioned in the corner of the screen as Cruz was speaking.
He was holding a catheter, I think, wasn't he?
Yes. As the filibuster rolled on, social media took over and started to send this guy's picture all around asking who he was. And the funny thing is that they're not allowed to have social media there. So it wasn't until someone could bring a printout to say, hey, by the way, you might want to stop picking at the scabs on your face. You might want to maybe look like you're a little bit more interested in what your boss
is saying. He's two knuckles deep in his nose.
Yeah, looking down. So Corner Guy made the news. The other person who made the news, and now this is really, I think, a pretty sad case, is this woman who was the face of Obamacare.
The thing that I love about this is, I mean, this is just classic, right? Let's go out and get somebody to be the face of Obamacare. I know what they thought. Let's get a woman of color. That'll, you know, make us woman friendly, whatever. They don't even get a U.S. citizen. She's from Colombia. She's from, and it destroyed her life.
Do you know that they still, as last time I checked, they still had not paid her?
Oh, really?
Yeah, for being in that
photo.
Well,
they can't because she doesn't have a Social Security number.
I never stopped them before. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, because, you know, brown bags of money never get passed around in D.C. That could never happen. Yeah. Right, so she made the news, and by the way, she was also cyber stalked or cyber bullied, which I think is bad news to people who found out who she was.
And
she
I saw an interview with her, and it destroyed her life.
Yeah, they called her Adriana. So everywhere she goes now, she's the face of a hated person.
You know who I have to talk about?
Yeah,
it's a couple, Sidney Leathers and Carlos Danger.
Yeah, otherwise known as
Mr. Weiner.
The husband of Hillary's closest advisor.
Yeah. I mean, and this guy, I don't know if it's hubris or stupidity or what is it that makes these guys think, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a crotch shot and send it to somebody.
Wait a minute now. We also had that a flasher in Seattle decided to steal a 480-ton boat and try to drive it around, the Victoria Clipper. So maybe we need to look out for Anthony Weiner on that front.
Here's what I always thought. I always thought they should have come to Weiner the first time when he was a congressman and said, look, we're not going to fire you because you sent a crotch shot. We're going to fire you because you're stupid. And the reason you're stupid is because you think a woman would actually like to get a picture of your crotch.
Yeah, and so
you're too dumb to be a congressman.
And what has to be really depressing for Anthony Weiner is that he didn't make Politico's list.
Yeah, I added him in. Sidney Leathers is the one who made it.
It's his girlfriend who made it.
Yeah, I added him in. Sidney Leathers.
So a really infuriating, and we're going to get to that. We'll get to that in a bit. One of the most infuriating facts of who had their 50 minutes of fame. We'll get to that. But one that stands up for me is the Umbrella Marines. This is how Political says it. Yeah. I'm not calling them Umbrella Marines. So this happened in a speech as the president. You recall this. The president of the United States was giving a speech and it began to rain. And the president called for umbrellas. And so men who serve the country, who have volunteered to be put in harm's way, wind up holding umbrellas over the head of a man who has never put himself in
harm's way. They look like that guy that runs around with P. Diddy or Puff Daddy or whatever his name
and
is.
And that's a way they should never look.
I know. Of course not. You know, the guy that the manservant that runs around and holds that thing for P. Diddy so he never gets his hair wet.
Right. And in that moment, I think that right there, along with a couple other things, defined him for the year. That moment. And then also the moment where you recall where he had the beer summit and was actually the officer who had to help Professor Gates down the steps. Obama was too busy, right, being in front. So that was another 15 minutes of fame that people have had this year is the umbrella. And the one that really gets me on this list is the lawnmower man. So you recall during the government shutdown, when our nation's capital, courtesy of the President of the United States, they had blocked all of these public monuments that are never guarded. I lived there for 2 years. These things are never guarded. You can always walk up to them. And an image went viral. And this was of a bearded guy with a lawnmower and a South Carolina flag who was cleaning the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial. And it became one of the symbols of the shutdown. And the man's identity was later disclosed. It was a guy named Chris Cox, and he's a South Carolina native who was visiting Mark Sanford, speaking of 15 Minutes of Fame and the Appalachian Trail, and he went to spend his free time keeping the Lincoln Monument grounds in good shape. And that's the sign of the true divorce. The guy who shut the monuments down for no reason is the guy who's calling for the umbrella so the blessed head does not get wet.
Right, right.
Is the guy who later wanted this guy, and the Park Service wanted this guy thrown out for having the gall to go clean up the national monument.
The one that gets me on this list is Obama Clown. The Obama Clown. Because it's symbolic of what we were talking about last week with the Phil Robertson thing, and it's just this anti-free speech. It's no sense of humor. It's you can't contradict me on anything. A Missouri rodeo clown rose to infamy in August after a performance at the state fair during which he wore a mask of President Barack Obama. And it was criticized as racist. The state fair distanced itself from the act and called it inappropriate. The Missouri politicians slammed the show as intolerant. But here's the deal. The clown, his name was Tuffy Gessling, was banned for life from the Missouri State Fairgrounds and received death threats. Now, what would have happened if he would have had a George Bush face on or a Richard Nixon face on?
Would have been given his own program on MSNBC. Coming up, we're going to get a Liberal Talk Radio update with its own theme song. Herman and Widener in for John Carlson on The Commute with Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.